This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 189 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. Today, we are talking all about writing romantic subplots.
Yes, indeed. But before we get into the topic, it's accountability time, guys.
Yay! It's our favourite.
Yay! but it's freakishly early in the month somehow. So as we record this, we're only just halfway through the month, so... You know, let's approach this accountability with, you know, a lot of understanding. So, Julia, how are you getting on?
Don't hold us accountable to our accountability.
That's the one. Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah, let's start with me because it's generally going to be the same as last month. Last month I said I was going to carry on with the book formatting formula, and I did. Yay me. And it's close to being finished. Yay. And my plan is to finish it by the end of May, which is currently in just under 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by the beginning of June, it'll be done and I can get it to my editor and get it out into the world so I don't have to ever look at it again, because it's got to that point in my book creating process where I never want to look at it ever again. But that's fine. It's almost done. And then I can stop talking about it and start talking about my fiction project, which I can't wait to get started on.
I do have to say we've been doing some co-working sessions together. Every time it's like, oh, I'm so sick of this book.
I think Holly's sick of hearing me talk about it. You're sick of me being
challenging.
Sorry.
So don't shirk out of it. Have you said what you're going to do for June?
Good catch.
Yeah. You know, chill.
Take a break. It's good.
Work with my editor on, you know, refining the book formatting formula, finish off the cover design, get a blurb written, publish it. Oh no, did I just say I was going to publish the book in June?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Or at least get it ready to publish.
Why not? I'll publish it in June. See you then.
There, you heard it, folks.
Oh, God. But I did say, don't hold me accountable to my accountability.
Yes, this is accountability without the accountability. So.
Exactly.
Oh, my favourite kind.
How about you, Angeline?
So May was supposed to be all about my new secret project, and it hasn't been at all. So, yeah, in fact, that top secret project is kind of on the back burner at the moment, because what I've been doing instead is fantasy map commissions, which is awesome and very exciting. And I've also been doing some research into a brand new genre. Well, it's a brand new subgenre. You know, we can't break away too far.
But, is it a punk subgenre?
It's not a punk.
What? But we love the punks.
I know. because the reason I'm doing this is because I have a very, very vocal main character who's been shouting at me. So, you know, like sometimes main characters show up and they're a bit annoying and they nag you, write my book. And you can tell them quite forcefully, no, it's not your time, you have to wait. And then sometimes they go away. But this is not one of those. This character is a screamer. And she won't let me move on. So I've actually started writing this brand new book in a brand new subgenre. And I'm just not thinking about anything else at all because she won't let me. Yeah, this was not part of my plan, especially as I had just officially decided and officially announced that I was going to be taking a step back from writing any fiction. So that's quite typical. But yeah, this new subgenre is cozy fantasy, also known as slice of life fantasy, which means there will be a romantic subplot, which is not my strong point. So I am going to need to really pay attention to this episode. But I think I'm gonna put the book under my pen name because I think it'll fit more comfortably there rather than alongside the dark, gritty dystopian stuff. And yeah, so now I need to decide what I'm gonna be do in June. June, goodness. I do have some map commissions already booked in for June, and I'm gonna continue with this book because it's really exciting me right now, and the character will not shut up, so I will give in to
And
her.
you're high adaptability, so you're going to be just fine.
Yes, I was saying this is now the fifth book that I have in, like, I have five works in progress at the moment that are at very various stages of completion, so this is number five that I have on the go at the moment.
Well,
Yay.
I only have three. I should start a couple more and catch up.
Yes, catch up.
Okay, so I said May was going to be fiction first, and that I wanted to finish the first draft of book one of Shifters of London. And I have worked on it, but I'm still quite a way off finishing it. I've also been working on launching Writer Roadmap, which is my new solo podcast, and that is now up and running.
Yay!
Yay! There, yeah, there, yeah. That was like really harmonious. That's lovely.
We practiced.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, the first few episodes of that are out now on all the obvious platforms. And I've also had quite a lot going on in my music life. Because I do feel like I'm living a double life right now. It's really surreal. I recorded a radio interview, which will have aired when this episode goes out. So I will make sure a link to that goes in the show notes in case anyone's interested. It was just like local radio. But yeah, I did a song and I did a reading. Got to talk about my books as well. So that was really cool. And I've done a couple of gigs, and the Saltaire Festival, which I'm a volunteer for, had an event as well the other day, which I went to, which was awesome. And yeah, so it's been surprisingly busy and not so much with the fiction, but I haven't been writing anything else. Whenever I've written anything, it's been my fiction. So that still counts, right?
Yeah,
It
it still
does.
counts.
But yeah, having the sprint sessions twice a week has really helped to keep me focused on work. And even when I haven't been writing fiction, I've been so much more productive this month than I have probably since like last autumn. So yeah, that's been really effective. So I don't know, I might carry on doing the sprints, maybe. Oh no, what did I just commit
Yeah.
to? So yeah, June. I just need to carry on with what I'm doing. I need to keep chipping away at Shifters of London. And I also really want to do some more exploration of AI, and using that. So that I think that's gonna come in next month in quite a big way. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the upcoming thing, isn't it? I'm excited about it and terrified in equal measure. So we have no new patrons this week, but a huge thank you to all of our current patrons who sponsor the show. We appreciate all of your support so much. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive access to our off-air banter, and the chance to join in with our monthly sessions of Sprints and Giggles, an evening where we do writing sprints, answer questions, and have a laugh. So if you'd like to join in and also support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And speaking of sprints and giggles, it is this week. It's open to all of our listeners. So just be sure to check your email if you're on our mailing list, or check the Facebook group for the link to join in. We will be sprinting and having a laugh this Wednesday, the 24th of May at 8 p.m. British Summer Time. So check your time zone and join in, because it's always good fun.
Yes, it is.
And we'll get some writing done.
In theory.
Look, I've committed to that as well.
Oh, so much committing today. It's very unlike us.
And yeah, so main topic for today is one I'm scared. I'm scared about this, to talk about romance as a subplot. I'm so bad at this.
Oh, no, it's not something you've got tons of experience doing, but, you know, this is why we tackle these topics, right? It helps us to learn as well as sharing with our audience. So yes, it's all good.
I am taking notes.
Okay, so romantic subplots can crop up in any genre. And how you distinguish whether you have a romance as the primary genre or as a subplot of another genre is the primary plot. If the non-romantic primary plot can stand on its own without the romance, then you've got another genre. But if the romance plot is the story, what you've got is a romance. So make sure you categorize it correctly when you publish.
And follow the romance rules. Because, you have to have a happy ever after, or at least a happy for now.
Yes, in a romance book. But if it's just a romantic subplot in any other genre, you don't have to have that.
Yeah.
And I remind myself of that daily because I love killing characters.
Oh, yeah, we know. I didn't realise that was like a rule. Is it a rule?
Oh, very strict rule. Yes.
Okay.
But it may be shocking, but I love happy endings. All of my books have happy or at least hopeful endings. Hope for happiness.
Yeah, the same. I know I have a reputation, and I joke about it being all grim and dark and everything. But no, I need hope. If ever I'm like watching a TV show or something that doesn't really have enough hope in it, I can't stand it. I need there to be like the promise of something better.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're writing characters in any genre, whether there's romance or not, you want to be making them believable and relatable. But I think with romance, you really want to be rooting for those characters. So make sure they are fully rounded, they have goals, motivations, and conflicts. We like to see some arguments, even in romance. Develop those backstories, their personalities, and their values. Just to do as you would always do, make your characters nice and believable, nice and relatable, so that we actually want their romance to work.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And consider how they, relate to each other and how they're different from one another. And it's that when you're building in that romantic subplot, you have to factor that into the overall sort of tone and everything of the story to make sure those characters fit together and that it makes sense that they would have a romantic relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I do love that opposites attract.
Oh, yeah.
That trope is fun.
Yeah. And enemies to lovers and all of that.
Enemies to lovers is like one of my favorites.
Yeah. There's not to say they have to be the same, but it has to be logical that they would like each other. It has to be believable, you know?
Yeah. There has to be something some way to find a common ground that you can believe that their relationship might actually work out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So having a romance subplot is a great way to create conflict in a book, which is what we're all about. You know, keeping the story going, creating conflict, and you've got an internal conflict, which could hinder the character's commitment and their development. And then you've got external conflicts like societal expectations or rivalries. So there are all sorts of different ways to bring in conflict through romance.
Yeah, and having conflict within the romance as well, that can give you some extra story beats that really flesh out a story, and make it more exciting. So yeah, having the romance as a cause of conflict, although not the primary cause of conflict, so
Yeah,
that
because
you're not
it's
slipping
just a
into,
subplot.
remember you have to be able to cut that out and it still makes sense. Yeah, you want to give your characters the opportunity for growth through overcoming obstacles. So every conflict that you throw at them, you have to give them a way to, tackle it and overcome it and find resolution after the conflict, be it a romantic one or to do with the primary plot.
Yeah. And next one, this is something that I do very well when people are not falling in love, but as soon as it's romance, I'm like, bleh. And that is crafting authentic and engaging dialogue. Like, I'm so good at dialogue, it's a strong point, but I do not know how to write people falling in love without going into cliches and just bleh. Because that's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid cliches and you want to avoid all the predictable exchanges. And I've got to admit, I'm really bad at
Oh, I love a good cliche.
it.
Yeah. Sometimes
Yeah.
pretty, but then I think romance authors and readers like a bit of cliche because it's expected.
That's
Yes.
true. You can get away with a bit more in romance.
Yeah,
That's
I think you
good.
can.
Just a light sprinkling. Don't pack it full of cliches. That's too much, but one or two. It's fine.
Yeah. And make sure you're conveying those realistic emotions and subtext. Remember that when it comes to dialogue, it's also about what people don't say or and when people are saying things that they don't mean. So they're hiding the real meaning behind something else, which, yeah, you definitely see that in like enemies to lovers a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Just as an aside, if anyone wants help with their dialogue, be it romantic or otherwise, I highly recommend Jeff Elkin's podcast, The Dialogue Doctor. We had him on. I interviewed him a little while ago, and he's fantastic. And his podcast is really, really helpful. So, Angeline, you might want to listen to that.
I will definitely see if he's got some romance episodes because yeah, I honestly I'm so bad at making people fall in love.
Yeah, when it comes to romance, we want to build chemistry between the characters, not just throw two people together and go, oh, and then they fell in love. Yeah. So we need to explore their complementary qualities and dynamics between them, the shared experiences they have, moments of connection, and building it up. I mean, there is insta love, there is insta lust, but slow burn can be a good thing, especially when it's a subplot, I would say.
Yeah, it's funny. I love slow burn, but I'm really bad at writing it because I'm really bad at making people do the fall in love bit. I'm all right once they're in love, and I'm all right when before they're in love. But it's really weird because I love slow burn, but I'm really bad at writing it.
It's tricky to
So
get that
weird.
pacing right.
I think it
Yeah.
is. Yeah. I think the pacing is really difficult. Yeah, because you've got to do pacing to get like a gradual development of it, and then when they finally fall in love, then it's like the climax of your overall story, which is not the romance. That you've got to get the payoff. You've got to have the yes, finally moment, which. Again, it is something I watch a lot of romance. And I love it. I love that yes moment.
Definitely. I know what you mean. And I don't read much romance, but I do love watching it. It's a nice sort of
I'm the same.
a nice, easy, comforting kind of
Yeah.
TV or movie.
Everyone loves love. Right?
Nice people.
Well, they should.
Yes. I just want to just drop a little note in. to make sure people are portraying healthy relationship dynamics. And I admit I haven't always done this. And it's a different kettle of fish if you're writing dark romance. There's all sorts of very unhealthy relationship stuff in dark romance that's totally acceptable in that genre. But as we are talking about romantic subplots, having healthy communication, mutual respect, and of course, consent are very important. Unless it's supposed to be, you know, if it's a drama or, you know, if the negative, you know, the romantic subplot has a negative spin that is important for the character, that's a different thing. But if you are writing a happy, nice romance, then yes, let's keep it positive, people.
Yeah, and I've done it before as well, and I wrote a romance that to me was absolutely fine, and a beta reader absolutely tore it to shreds and was like, this is an absolutely horrible romance. It's really manipulating, and
Oh
I hadn't seen it at all. I think, but you've got to understand that it's like any other part of fiction. Everyone has a different opinion.
no.
So somebody might see something as being manipulative, whereas somebody else doesn't at all. So yeah, you've got to remember that as well. I think consent is pretty straight cut, like
Yeah.
always have consent. But yeah, I think sometimes you can write something that maybe isn't as healthy as you think it is.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if you have your own preferences. And if you particularly like darker romance and the sort of straddling the line scenarios, you might not realize that that's not going to be welcomed by all readers. So,
Yeah.
sensitivity readers or beta readers can help. So that's an option.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes this is a good place for trigger warnings as well, or at least making sure that your genre, like if you are writing like a dark romance, making sure the genre is really clear so that your readers are expecting that sort of tone.
I mean, like with me, it was In the Blood. I didn't quite realize when I wrote it how dark it was, and it was sort of in hindsight, I was like, oh, actually, yeah, that's kind of abusive. So now when I market that book, I use toxic relationship as a tag, just so that it is clear. So moving on. So we've talked about the, you know, the romance being a subplot and how it's distinct from the main plot, but you one of the tricks to doing this is having the balance right. So you want to make sure that the romance enhances and supports the main storyline. So you can do that by having complementary themes, and using the a sort of seesaw effect. So as you know, the tension builds in the main plot, you maybe have it lower in the romantic subplot and then switch them, or you can have them both ramping up together. They're both going to have different effects on the pace, but you want to consider that balance as you move through the story. And integrating the romantic elements seamlessly into the overall narrative so they don't stand out, although we've talked about them being separate and being able to remove the romance. You don't actually want it to read that way. You want it to read seamlessly so that it's a nice smooth ride through the book.
Yeah, because I have seen a lot where in the stories the plot is the main genre and the romance subplot is much more about the character dynamics rather than a specific plot, and it's the changes in the character dynamics as their relationship is changing, as it's progressing. It's those character dynamics that are kind of propelling the main plot or hindering the main plot. Sometimes that it's an actual point of conflict in the main plot. So you can do that as well, I think, quite I've seen it done very successfully where you have the main plot as the main genre, and then the romance subplot is much more about just about character dynamics.
Yeah, you don't want it to feel like the romance is kind of just plopped in there for effect, for no other reason than just to be there. It's the same with love triangles. A lot of argument people have against love triangles is it just feels like it was there just to be there, where it needs to kind of flow, doesn't it? But you can also use the romance subplot to deepen your characters, make your characters more interesting, you know, reveal new facets of their personality through their romantic relationships and how they relate to each other, you know, show how it can contribute to their personal growth and their story arc. Yeah, romance has a good way of doing that because it's one of the main ways we connect with other people. So it can really be a way to kind of put a mirror up against character and go, look how you're changing.
Yeah, like the typical thing of having one partner who's emotionally unavailable, and as they experience the events of the plot and the romance, they become emotionally available so that they have a change arc throughout the story. And using the romance to really highlight that, it can be really, really effective.
I'm just getting into what you guys are saying now. I'm just like listening or not paying attention to what I'm actually meant to be doing. Am I even recording this podcast? I just want to listen. That's it. So talking more about like pacing, because this is something I struggle with. I'm finding the right balance. We've just discussed there some really good ways to balance the main plot with the romance subplot and the development of that. And I liked what you said about Holly, where you can either ramp them both up at the same time and in the same way, or you can have like this seesaw effect between them. And you've got to make sure that the romance doesn't overshadow or detract from the primary genre, because we've been talking a lot about the main plot, but I think it's important to remember that the romance is not just a subplot, it's a subgenre, it's the secondary genre. So you've got to be all really aware and keep reminding yourself of the tropes of the main genre, not just the main, thinking about the main plot. You've got to be hitting those genre expectations and those genre markers for your readers that like that genre.
Yeah,
especially I think if you've chosen to put a romance subplot in a darker genre like dystopia or horror, even, because you can absolutely have a romantic subplot in horror.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if it might help us to give a few examples. The first thing that sprang to mind for me, I'm not sure why, but was Lord of the Rings, which is such an archetype for high fantasy. It's kind of the basis of all modern fantasy. And I know a lot of people will be much more familiar with the films than the book. And obviously there are differences, but there are two sort of romantic subplots. You've got Aragorn and Arwen. Their romance, they're kept apart for most of it. And, you know, they're only connected by their thoughts and their memories of one another. And then it, you know, builds to the climax where they're reunited at the end. And then you've got, actually there's three, because there's Sam and Rosie as well. That was my favorite.
That's
as
so
well.
Cute.
I love Sam and Rosie.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, all the romances are sort of built on this premise of keeping them apart, which is very much typical in fantasy, and because Lord of the Rings is the archetype. So paying attention to the conventions of your genre and how romance is typically used in it is kind of the way to go, unless you want to subvert it, of course, and you know, put a twist in there, which is also good. We like to break the rules occasionally. So, but can you guys think of any other examples, maybe from different genres?
I was thinking of Hunger Games, because obviously you've got the main dystopian plot, and then you have this love triangle romantic subplot. But what I find quite interesting about Hunger Games is that the themes and the tone of the romantic subplot is very similar to the tone of the main dystopian genre, because I think the romantic subplot is quite dark and quite gritty.
It's
And
quite forced, yeah.
yeah, it is. I think it also really fits the characters as well. I think through that romantic subplot, we learn so much about the characters. So yeah, I put that up as another good example.
Yeah, so much of their romance is about survival rather than actual love. It's a weird one. I have feelings about the Hunger Games.
But it's, I think, why it resonates so well for so many people is it, although it's an extreme case, it's quite true to life, and that, you know, the experiences we go through with people can bond us to one another. So with Katniss and Peter, they have that shared experience of being in the games, and that is how they connect. And that is true to life. We can all kind of relate to that kind of thing. Obviously, not being forced to murder our peers in a televised contest,
Hope, hopefully
let's hope not.
not. There's still time.
So you also want to explore the impact of the romance subplot on other story elements. You want to consider how the romance will affect other relationships outside of that romance, the other friendships or alliances they may have in the story, and then the ripple effects of the romantic subplot on the overall narrative structure. Like, how is it going to affect the story in general? And the best way to do that, I'd say, is to imagine the plot without the romantic element and then chuck it back in there and kind of, mix it up with a spoon and see, well, how would it affect the plot? Imagine, like we've just been talking about the Hunger Games, imagine the Hunger Games without the romance between Katniss and Peter, and how it would have changed the outcomes, the way they would have behaved, the things they would have done, the actions they took. Peter, I think at one point he sees Katniss up a tree, but he leads the others away from her because he doesn't want her to get hurt, like things like that. So yeah, the romance, just consider how it would affect all the elements.
Because I mean, another way they use the romance is sort of because it they also kind of use the fake relationship trope in Hunger Games, don't they? Because they are encouraged to overplay their relationship for the people watching. So, I think it can probably be helpful to look through all the tropes of romance and,
romance, the genre, and see what you can kind of interweave in a romance subplot, albeit maybe not, to such extremes because it's not a romance book, it's a different genre, but I think it can be helpful.
But oh, sorry, go on, Holly.
Sorry, I was just going to give another example. Where our current binge is The Boys. We've just finished season three, and definitely not a romance. Julia, it's not for you.
No,
No,
I've had this
really not for
discussion with someone
you.
else, and she sent me a clip and got me to watch it, and I'm like, no, this isn't for me.
No, it's not for you.
It was an exploding person.
Yes, yeah, for
Oh,
me. Right at the beginning. That's how the show starts.
That was oh.
Yeah, so it's very gory, very gruesome. It's like extreme superhero action, like really extreme, really dark, and where superheroes are not necessarily that heroic. And there are a number of romantic relationships throughout the show. And none, you know, none of them form the main plot, but the dynamics are so important and each one is different as well. So I think just something to consider is having multiple relationships, especially over the course of a series, and making each of them different and having that variety in there so that you can show different types of relationship and different ways people make it work or not, especially in extreme circumstances.
And if you need to mix it up, add an X. Just add an X. Play it out in your genre the way you imagine it in your head, but it's always gonna stir things up.
Yes.
And it can give you the opportunity to get your character to say some things to their ex that you wish you could say to your own. Or maybe do things.
Yeah, throwing a bit of jealousy. There's a lot of fun you can have when it's a subplot because you don't have to follow the rules of romance, but you can explore different options.
But even though it is a subplot, you still want to resolve it and bring it to a conclusion. So you've still got to give readers a satisfying romantic arc that is a full and complete one, whether that's over just one book or whether it's over an entire series, that's okay. Even if it's not the primary focus of the book, it's still got to resolve. So wrap up those loose ends and address the emotional journey of the characters involved in that romance as well.
But it doesn't have to be happily ever after
No.
because we're not in the romance genre, so we can do what we like.
We can.
Like art, apparently, I've fallen into the romance genre by accident, so I'll stay there for a while, I guess.
Yeah. So, couple of other just little tips. Allow your characters to guide their own romance and surprises. Like, you don't have to carefully plot it out. You can just write it and see what the characters say to you. You can always tweak it in editing to get it all to fit together. Follow your intuition because, romance comes from the heart. Like literally, it comes from the heart. It doesn't all make sense logically. So, let it flow and let the characters surprise you.
Yeah, we're definitely good at letting the characters do what they want to do, aren't we?
Yeah. And also learn from other authors' approaches to romantic subplots. I mean, how many books have we all read as writers? You will have picked up on the way other authors have, come across romance and the way that they've molded it. So, take inspiration from that and take inspiration from your own life.
Really?
Well,
Maybe.
the people we all know a bit of romantic drama from friendship, from friends who have been through it,
We
and
do, or go and sit in a coffee shop and
Yes.
listen.
Yeah. Okay, I think that about wraps up our main topic. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Ange.
It has. It really has. I'm like so many mental notes now. Yes, hopefully I can pull this out of the bag now. So that leads us to a would you rather question, which is, I'm afraid, not about love at all.
Oh, you sound sad, Holly. You're like, oh.
Sorry. So, would you rather read only the first chapter of a book or only the last chapter?
And not get to read it at all.
And not get to read the rest?
Is this like every book ever for the rest of our lives?
I
No.
don't know. What do you think?
No, just one book. God,
Just
give me a break. It's been a long week. Let's not make it worse. I would read the last chapter.
Yeah, I
Because,
think
yeah.
if I read the first chapter and got really into it and I wasn't allowed to read the rest, I would just be really annoyed. But if I've read the last chapter, at least I know how it ends.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. Although I do like those books. You know, sometimes you read a book and the last chapter isn't fully concluded, like you still have questions, and then you get to spend weeks like daydreaming about what might have happened. That's quite fun.
For
But
me, don't think that's ever happened to me.
really,
Yeah.
it takes quite a few chapters for me to get into a book.
Mm.
So I feel like if I just read like the first chapter, I'd be like, eh. So I'd rather read the last one for like, ooh.
Oh, you could end up frustrated that way as well, though, thinking, yeah, but what? How did it? Is it? So either way, you can end up wanting to read the whole book. It's quite a difficult conundrum.
Yeah,
It
let's not do it to ourselves.
is.
Okay. So remember, if you would like to support the show, you can do so over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.